This village that we honored Prasadam is called Chitsoli Gram. This is the village of Chitrasakhi. Chitrasakhi is one of the Astasakhis. She appeared there and she had many pastimes there with Krishna and Radharani. And the whole area, which they're developing very beautifully, this below, and also when we walk across to Laraliji's Mandir, the whole area is called Gevarvan. Gevarvan is Radharani's personal garden. So there's a very beautiful description of Gevarvan. It said that this garden, this Gevarvan garden, was built with Radharani's own hands. And she built this garden just for the purpose of meeting Krishna. She built the whole garden. She planted all the trees and the flowers and all of Krishna's favorite flowers and trees she planted there. And she would take care of the garden. And we say Radha Bagicha, Radharani's garden. And there's a beautiful song, Brijbasha song, where I just read the translation in English. Oh Radhe, you personally built this garden of Gevarvan with your own hands. You're always walking here, absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. Your footprints and the dust of your feet are spread everywhere on the ground of Gevarvan. We fervently pray, or you can say deeply pray, for the opportunity to sweep the footpaths of your garden of Gevarvan, not with brooms, but with our eyelashes, so we can see all the more closely the dust of your lotus feet. So this is one Hindi prayer by one great devotee. He's saying that usually you take a broom and you do sweeping, sweep the ground. But he's saying, I want to use my eyelashes and sweep the ground of your garden with my eyelashes so I can see the dust of your feet even more closely. This word gevar means deep, dense, dark, and inaccessible. So this is a good place to meet someone privately. It's deep, it's dark, dense foliage, and inaccessible, very hard to enter there. But only Radharani and the gopis and Krishna know the way into Gevarvan. It's a secret place. And there's actually one pastime that's told with Krishna, that he and his boyfriends, they came over to this side, the Varsana. And there was one field here where some of the farmers were growing chickpeas. So Krishna and his friend went in there. We call them chana. You say chana, I think. Chickpeas. They went in, they snatched all those chickpeas, and then they came to this forest of Gevarvan, and they started roasting those chickpeas. They gathered some dry sticks and leaves, made a fire, and they were roasting the chickpeas, cooking them, roasting them, and then they were eating them. And then the lady, that was her field, she chased him over here, and she found them, and they were just stuffing themselves with chickpeas. Like you see, the monkeys are also eating so many of these chickpeas all the time. And then when the lady saw, she was very angry. Oh, you stole our chickpeas. We can't sell them. And when she got close and she saw Krishna's face, and he was just smiling with his cheeks full of chickpeas, she forgot all about her anger, and she became totally captivated by the sweetness and beauty of Krishna. Where we're sitting right now, this is called Man Kutir. This is the place, as we were discussing, in Unchagam, about Srimati Radhika's man. This is one mountaintop where she would come and display this mood of love called man. Of course, you know, and as far as how these hills came about, when Krishna was bringing the spiritual world here to enact his pastimes, Lord Brahma, he asked if he could render some service. So Krishna said, all right, you can put your head into it. You should use your head. They say you should use your head, put your head into it. So Krishna said, I'll take your four heads and I'll use the four heads. Well, your four heads will turn into four mountain peaks. So one is called Dangar, Vilaskar, Mangar, and then the one where the main temple is. So the four heads of Brahma are these four mountain peaks. So right now we're sitting on the head of Brahma. And he's very tolerant, so he's not complaining. So this is Mangar, and this is Man Kutir. So this is, there's one of many pastimes we can read about how Radharani displayed this mood of Man, and Krishna came to this very spot to try to mollify her and to pacify her mood of Man. So one day, Krishna was coming from Nandagam to meet Radharani and Gavarvan. But somehow or other, on the way, he met one of the confidants, one of the confidential sakis of Chandravali. As Radharani has her ashtashakis, then Chandravali also has ashtashakis. So her confidential servants are Padma and Shaibya and others. So Padma came along the forest path and she asked Krishna, "Oh, where are you going?" He said, "Oh, I'm just going for a walk." So really, actually my Swamini, my Chandravali, she's waiting for you in a beautiful flower kunj on the banks of the Yamuna. Why don't you come with me? And Krishna said, "Oh, okay." So then he went with Padma and he met Chandravali and they were playing together and the whole afternoon passed by. And while they were playing together, there was one parrot in the tree, one tota, one parrot, and that parrot's name was Shukshmadi. Shukshmadi is a pet parrot, one of the pet parrots of Radharani. So Shukshmadi was there getting a bird's eye view of everything Krishna was doing. And then he flew off that tree and immediately came to Gavarvan and gave the full report to Radharani. He came here to this place and said, "Guess what? This is the latest news." Upon hearing this news, Srimati Radhika became very angry, very upset. "How is it? What is? How can this be? I can't believe it." And then she entered this deep state of sulking, love sulk. This man, it's called man. Now, after Krishna finished over there, he came here in the early evening to this mountaintop to meet Srimati. But she was not in any mood to speak to him or look at him or have anything to do with him. She was pouting. She was in a huff, they say. So Krishna, as always and as usual, he tried various means to break Radharani's contrary mood by joking and by making faces and by trying to touch her and sit next to her. And it was no success. So then Lalita Sakhi told him, "Get lost. Don't come back. We don't want any black fellows like you around here. And besides, it's getting dark now and you can't be trusted in the dark." So she gave him so many words, very hard words, which Krishna likes more than the very hard and harsh words, rebukes, they say. Rebuked Krishna very bitterly because Lalita's expert at that. But Krishna was relishing those rebukes much more than the finest Sanskrit prayers of the Rig Veda. It's like music to his ears. But anyway, he was unsuccessful. So then he left and then he met with some of the sakis, some of the more favorable sakis, like Brindadevi. And she suggested a solution, how he could break Radharani's man. She's in an angry mood, so you have to put her in a happy mood. So she told Krishna he should disguise himself as Sham Sakhi. Shamala Sakhi. Because sakis are different colors. Some are reddish gold, whitish gold, some are even dark color. Like you see in India, some sakis are dark and some are light. Like this. So then Krishna disguised himself as a sakhi, or rather Kundalata and Vrindadevi, they dressed him up. And then he played veena. And Radharani, of course, is expert on the veena, a stringed instrument. So then Krishna came here and was playing the veena for the pleasure of Radharani. Krishna was playing so expertly on the Veena. And Radharani closed her eyes. She was sitting here under some kadamba tree. And Shamsaki is playing so beautifully on the Veena. And because Krishna knows everything that Radharani likes, he knows that Radharani is particularly, she's fond of different ragas. There are 8,400,000 different ragas. A little hard to master all of them. But two of Radharani's favorite ragas are Dana Shri and Malara. Malara, Malara Rag, and Dana Shri. So Krishna started playing these favorite ragas, these favorite melodies or tunes of Radharani. And Radharani started closing her eyes and moving her head gently side to side, relishing the virtuosity and the tone and the sound and the expertise of this female Veena player. And she's listening, and then gradually her frown turned into a gentle smile. She started to smile very mildly. She became relieved, somewhat peaceful, and she gradually became a little bit happy, in a happy mood. And then as Shamsaki played more and more, Radharani became happier and happier. And then she was thinking, I've never heard such an expert Veena player. Who can play so expertly? I'm feeling so satisfied. I'm forgetting all about that black rake. That black rake, I'm forgetting all about him. My heart and mind are merging into the beautiful waves of sweet vibration coming from this Veena. I'm just soaring on the sweet notes of this Veena. My mind is flying. And then she's thinking, how can I reciprocate? I should give some gift in return. Then Radharani thought, to show my appreciation, I think I'll just, because Shamsaki was sitting like this. So then Radharani was saying, Shamsaki, it's such nice playing. It's such nice playing. I don't know what I can give you to reward you accordingly. I could give you my necklace, I could give you my ring, but I think I'll just give you a loving embrace. So when Radharani embraced Shamsaki, then she understood, this is not Shamsaki. This is Shamsundar. So this is a very, very, very special place. One entire head of Brahma. He only has four. So his whole head of Brahma is dedicated to this one Leela, or to this series of Leelas, this Man Leela, Man Bhanga Leela. So we can understand how much important this Leela is in Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma is the head of our Sampradaya, right? And he put his head into it. So this particular head is worthy for Man Leela. One of his heads is Man Leela, and the other is this Dan Bihari temple we'll go to. There's Dangar, Mangar. Then Milaskar is over by Sankarikur, which we won't see just now because we came on the other side. But in this, behind us on this other mountain, which was right above us when we were taking prasadam, that's called Mor Kuti. Mor means peacock. And there's a very nice, what happened over there on that particular hill, is one afternoon, Radha and Krishna, they met over there with some of the gopis. And a light rain was sprinkling, very, very faint, light rain. We say misty rain, like a mist. And it was a warm day, so that misty rain was very much cooling and refreshing and appreciative. And when that rain was there was some slight thundering, rumbling in the sky. And as soon as that thunder is there, then all the peacocks that were sitting in the various trees, Palasha tree, Arjun tree, and Kadamba tree, all the tall trees, they started crowing or meowing or whatever they do. Ow! 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 You ever heard at night sometimes in Krishna Balaram Mandir, nighttime? Something like that.
Yeah, it's almost like a cat.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah. Then they have another one, they go, bonk. They have a second one, they go, bonk, bonk. So when Radharani and Krishna were sitting on top of this Mor Kutir, or Mor, this mountain, and then they heard the peacocks, Russian peacocks and other peacocks. and then the peacocks came down. One peacock came down from the tree and started dancing. Radharani was watching and admiring the peacock's dance. So then Krishna was saying, oh, all of Radharani's attention is on this peacock. Just like when a lady gets married and when she has her first child, then all her attention goes to the child and she tells the husband to get lost. Krishna thought, oh, Radharani's not paying any attention to me. I have to catch her, get her attention. So then Krishna got on, he squatted down, he started dancing like a peacock. And he was looking at Radharani, moving like a peacock. And Radharani was looking at the real peacock, and then she was looking at Krishna, and then she said, comparing Krishna's dancing with a peacock, and she said, no, tigne. And then Krishna says, oh, it's not good enough for Radharani. So then he started really going like peacock. And then Radharani, her heart melted so much because Krishna was trying every possible way to make Radharani happy. And of course, this is what bhakti means. Trying every possible way to make our superior happy. So for Krishna, his superior is Radharani. For Radharani, her superior is Lalita Sakhi. And also Krishna, but... So from our viewpoint, we want to do everything we can to make our superiors happy, Guru, Krishna, etc. So now Krishna is trying his best to please Radharani, really enthusiastically and really with great loving heart. So now that attracts Radharani's attention. She says, well, actually, that one person dancing is very nice, but when two people dance together, it's even better, especially when two peacocks dance together. So then Radharani, she became a peacock, and Krishna became a peacock, and then they danced together on the top of this mountain called Mor Kutir. Mor means peacock. So then one blind saint, he was up there and he was meditating on this Lila Smaran, and he was having darshan, antardristi. Within himself, he was seeing this beautiful Lila. So then he painted it. He's blind man, but he painted this Lila of Krishna, and Krishna as a peacock, and Radharani as a peacock, and that painting is being worshipped even to this day up in the mandir. Of course, the original one was stolen. but the replacement painting is there. So this pastime is forever commemorated in the painting. And you see other people also do these paintings of Krishna and Radharani like peacock. So there's one last pastime about Mor Kuti. Because this pastime is with Krishna and the coward boys. They would also regularly come here. As we heard yesterday in Dohani Kund is just below. It's right behind where we took prasadam as Dohani Kund. And that's where Radharani found out about the lotus flower on the bottom of the cow's udder, which we told yesterday. So one day, Krishna and the coward boys, they also met on top of this mountain, what is also called Mor Kuti. This is another pastime, how the mountain got its name. So all the gopas, they said to Krishna, they said, oh, Lala, we're very, very hungry. We've been wandering here and there all day with the cows. We're very, very hungry. Can't you do something? So he said, oh, okay. So then Krishna started playing his flute. As he played his flute, then big baskets of laddus appeared in front of everyone. That's a very good system. It's like Draupadi's, what was that, Akshaya Patra or something. So he played his flute and all these baskets of laddus appeared and the boys started eating them to their great relish. So the boys kept eating. They became totally full, but Krishna kept giving them more and more baskets of laddus. And the boys started teasing and telling each other, eat, eat. But in their language, the words for eat, eat are, nukau, 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 nukau. Cow means eat. So nu means more. So it sounds like the sound of a peacock. Nukau, nukau. So every year, this pastime happened 5,000 years ago. And it's so much etched or written in the hearts of the Brijbasis that even today they reenact this pastime. In the month of Bhadra. Bhadra is Krishna's birthday, and also Radharani's birthday happens in the same month called Bhadra. And they hold a contest here, and they throw ladus, and then all the Brijbasis, they all gather on top of that hill, and they have a ladu eating contest. Who can eat the most ladus? And there are some Brahmins in Mathura and other places. There's one Brahmin in Mathura they often invite to wedding festivals. After he eats a full meal, he can eat 200 rasgullas. So you may have some champion eaters in your temples, but I don't think they can match this guy. I mean, they pay him to eat. They pay him because it's auspicious if a Brahmin goes away full, especially if he has 200 rasgullas in his belly. Every rasgulla is worth 10 rupees, I think. He gets a good donation out of that.
Ladu sadhu.
Ladu sadhu. So even you just see that the interesting point is that Krishna's leelas are never, they're always being sung, they're always being remembered, they're always being glorified, even enacted in drama and dance. Because Krishna's eternal, his pastimes are eternal, and anyone who connects with these pastimes will also live eternally with Krishna.
Hare Krishna. This man is not exactly anger like we think of anger now, or in violent anger. It's called sulking. If you, in our Gita Nagari, there's a lot of peacocks, many, many peacocks. So the boys come out, you know, and they really, and the girls, they always just turn their back and walk away from them, like. And then the boys, they big their feathers more and more. And it's something like that. You can learn from the birds. Radharani, in Braj Leela, always had to kind of sneak around to associate with Krishna. Except, I guess, when she cooked for Krishna, then they would send Krishna the prasad, right?
Yeah, in the morning she comes to Barsana.
Yeah,
Nandagram,
but she'd be in the kitchen.
Yeah,
but to be with Krishna, they had to sneak around a little bit. So in Gaur Leela, we have Gaur Gadadhar. Radharani became like a friend of Krishna, so she could be with him all the time. Even though Lord Chaitanya was Radha and Krishna, he could be either one. So their relationship, they spent a lot of time together, and openly there was no problem. And they would read Srimad Bhagavatam. Gadadhar was expert at reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, and then Lord Chaitanya would listen. So every day they would spend many, many time, and Lord Chaitanya gave Gadadhar that Tota Gopinath deity to worship. And he became a Chaitra Sannyasi, dedicated to that deity. But madly attached to Lord Chaitanya, and when he was leaving Puri one time, then Gadadhar wanted to go with. He wanted to follow him around. So Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, no, you cannot come. You can't come with us. You have to worship the deity." He was saying, "You're Krishna, and it doesn't make any difference if I'm with you than with the deity. It's the same." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, if you give up your service to the deity, then I'll be blamed for it. And it'll look bad for me." So then he said, "All right, I won't go with you, but I'll just follow along, and you have nothing to do with it." So he followed for some time. Then it came time to cross the river, and Lord Chaitanya said, "Forget it, you have to go back and do your service to the deity." And Gadadhar was crushed in separation, but Lord Chaitanya insisted, and he fell unconscious, and then they left. But then Sarvabhauma convinced Gadadhar that this was special mercy of the Lord, that he would serve in that way. So they have so many rasas in this, and if we want to achieve this entering into Radha Krishna Leela, entering into Vraj Rasa, But it's not a cheap thing, like some people think. That simply by, you know, there are many, many things as the Hajjis do, and thinking that they're, we don't want to even mention what they do, but Lord Chaitanya, he kindly came, and by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we can come to know Radha and Krishna and join in their leelas and in their service. Of course, they appear, Srila Prabhupada brought Radha Krishna deities all over the world, and we can worship them to develop that full consciousness of what we're doing. And Prabhupada explained, to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, then we need the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Narottam Das Thakur, who's one of the most intimate associates, he, in many songs he says that, by Nitai Pada Kamala, then Radha Krishna Paitinai, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, that we can know Radha and Krishna. It's not that we don't need, we worship Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, but not that we forget Radha and Krishna. It's the same, but at the same time we worship Krishna, we think about Krishna, we hear the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada gave us so many pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes somebody will come along and try to tell devotees, well, Prabhupada didn't tell you so many things, or he didn't open up. But actually, he gave us access. Some of these stories are not in Prabhupada's books, but so much is there in the Nectar Devotion, so many leelas, but in a short doses, because it's not for us to be only in that. But not that we leave it out either. And Chaitanya Charitamrita has very, very intimate, but even in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that many people were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, but only those parts, only the parts about the intimate relationships of Radha and Krishna. And then he actually had to look very hard to find a Chaitanya Bhagavat in print, to just get the Sankirtan pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he stressed on that. And some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, one time they got into what got termed the Gopi Bhava Club. And GBC. And they said, Prabhupada, we're just reading your books. Because they were only reading the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but only a few chapters. And the Prabhupada said, no, we need to read the whole book.